Morning again. It's exciting news, but sometimes it's hard to tell. And hope you kind of got a feeling of what it would be like to be in Joseph's shoes or Mary's shoes when they have this exciting news to share with their, initially probably their family and friends, but then the rest of the world. It'd be a challenge. I think a lot of times for us too, it's challenging for us to share our faith about Jesus Christ and the excitement that that brings. Speaking of excitement, this is the time of year when it's very exciting with Christmas approaching and so much happening in the month of December. And even now at the tail end here of November with Thanksgiving and the holidays and whatnot, it's an exciting time. And I invite you, if you have a smartphone, to use that Bible app that we encourage you to download. It's the YouTube's YouVersion's Bible app. And on that application is a live feature. And if you go to live and search for Kalkaska or KCC Wired or even 49646, you can pull up the sermon notes and participate this morning along with everyone else. There's a poll on there. The first thing you'll find is this poll. And there's a blank in your bulletin as well. It's not going to be as much fun if you just have the bulletin. But the question in there is, what are you most excited about this Christmas season? What are you most excited about this Christmas season? And on the app, you can take the poll and then you can click to see the results of everyone else and what the most popular answer is. If you don't have the app, that's okay. Just jot down with a pen or pencil there what you are most excited about this Christmas season. There's so much going on, so many things we could be excited about. But before we get to today's text, I want to tell you about someone who's very excited, and that's Mary, of course. I want to set the stage, though, and I want to take you way back in time, about 2,000 years ago, and try to paint the picture. Now, if this was a blockbuster movie, I would think the book of Luke might open up something like this. My opening scene would begin in the capital city of Jerusalem, and you would see an old priestly man in the temple, with candles. He would be lighting a match and setting the incense ablaze and doing his service in the temple there. There'd be a flash shot outside while you see the crowd of people all praying as this man, Zechariah the priest, was in the temple offering his incense to God. Back inside, we would see Zechariah on his knees when suddenly an angel appears before him. And this is Gabriel, who's announcing to him that he and his wife Elizabeth were going to have a baby. And the angel explains the details about this birth that would come about. And Zechariah is somewhat hesitant because he says, "My wife and I are very old and we're along in many years and I'm not sure that this is really going to happen." Meanwhile, we shift back outside to the crowd, and they're getting antsy, some of them, and some of them are even nodding off, falling to sleep, because Zechariah's been in there an extremely long time for a priest serving at that time. Back inside, Zechariah questions this announcement, since both he and his wife Elizabeth are well along in years. Gabriel proclaims that due to his unbelief, he would be mute, unable to speak until the birth of the baby. Zechariah finally exits the temple, trying in vain to communicate with sign language that he's never learned to the crowd, to the people who had been waiting for him, to tell them what had happened. And he finally communicates, and the people understand that he must have seen a vision of some sort. Something supernatural had happened to him inside that temple while he was serving. Now fast forward 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy. And again, we find the angel Gabriel making another unexpected appearance, this time to a very young, common village girl in a little town called Nazareth. I kind of want to set the stage for Mary and this visit from the angel by showing you a clip from the Nativity story, which I recommend you watch this coming month in December. But take a peek at this just to set the scene for Mary.
Thank you. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Come, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus.
How can this be, since I've been with no man?
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power from the Most High will overshadow you. And the Holy Offspring shall be called the Son of God.
Son of God?
Mary, even your cousin Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age, for nothing said by God can be impossible.
Let it be done to me according to your word.
If you have a Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 39 to 45 this morning. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. It reads like this from the NIV. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill her promise to her." Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, and is just entering into her third trimester of her pregnancy. And Mary travels about 70 miles to see her and express her excitement. I want to talk about a little bit of the and the implication that they have for us today. But before I do, I want to clear up a few myths about Mary that you may have heard during your life. Now, I've never heard this preached before. And there may be a reason for that. I might be stoned at the end of this, but I'm going to take my chances. Some of you have never heard this. Some of you are young. Some of you have heard this all your life. Some of you know what's going on. Some of you have no idea. But the Catholic Church promotes a Mary that's very different from the Mary that I see in the Bible. So I'm going to share with you the Mary that I see in the Bible. But before I do that, I need to show you the Mary that's not in the Bible. And by doing that, I want to clear up a few what I call Mary myths. Okay, Mary myths. If you've grown up Protestant, you've probably not heard these myths very much. But if you have a Catholic background or have friends or family that are Catholic, you may have heard these frequently. But let me just clear these up as best I can. I'm not going to go in depth with any of these, but I just want to show you a few things, some observations that I've made in the past couple weeks. And let me say that I respect my brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church. I believe they are worshiping the same God as we are. But here are some myths that I think they have promoted over the years. And the reason for these dogmas, they don't stem from the Bible. Let's kind of make that clear. They don't come from the Bible. They come from tradition. They come from the traditions that have been taught to the people over the centuries from popes, different bishops, different theologians, and also from church councils. So the first one there in your bulletin, also in your app. Number one is that Mary was always a virgin. Mary was always a virgin. It's called perpetual virgin, that she never knew a man. Even after she gave birth to Jesus. But in Matthew chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, this is from the Message Bible. It says, Joseph woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. He took Mary home as his wife, but he did not make love to her until after she had given birth to a son. And Joseph gave him the name Jesus. Now, for me, I see that pretty clearly, that she was not a virgin after she gave birth to Jesus. And there's a second verse that makes it kind of clear that she had other children, and that's in Matthew 13, verses 55 and 56, where they're criticizing him, but they're saying, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And aren't all his sisters here with us? So evidently, she had many other children, for Jesus had brothers and sisters. Number two, the myth is Mary was sinless. Mary was sinless, and this is called Immaculate Conception. Now, many people misunderstand this, thinking that the conception was that Jesus was born sinless. That's not the myth. The myth is that Mary was born sinless and that she did not sin. She did not sin. This is known as the Immaculate Conception, as I said. This was formally defined in 1954 that this dogma doesn't refer to the birth of Jesus, but to the birth of Mary. And this is the belief that Mary was free from the original sin of from her birth and therefore sinless at the time of giving birth to Jesus. The Bible verse that I would look at and point you to is from Romans 3:23 that says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And she wasn't exempt from that verse. Number three, Mary was taken up into heaven bodily. She was removed from this earth and taken up straight to heaven. This is called the Assumption. Now, when I study my Bible, I see that Enoch and Elijah are the two men, the two individuals who were ever taken up from this earth without having seen death. And to say that Mary did the same is outside the pages of Scripture. You can't find that in the Bible. There's simply no basis biblically for this dogma. Number four, a myth is that Mary was the mother of God. Not just the mother of Jesus, but the mother of God. And this is known as Mother of God. Again, I found nothing in the Scriptures to back this up. Nothing biblically that I could pull up. In fact, if you take this stance, it adds to a whole dilemma, a whole slew of dilemmas in the Scriptures to say that Mary predates God and gave him birth, the creator and sustainer of the world. Just there's so many dilemmas that you run into by saying that she was before God. There's nothing in the Bible, again, that supports this dogma. Again, these four Mary myths are not found in the Bible. And if you're Catholic, I understand what the church is teaching you. And if you are part of that, I understand where you're coming from. I understand that these things have come about through various popes, bishops, church councils, and theologians. And they've taken the Bible and they've equated it with what these people have said. Now, Protestant churches, I think generally, and especially the Church of Christ, we speak where the Bible speaks. We pride ourselves on that. We stand solidly on the Scriptures. And so when someone comes to us and says, well, what about, I've heard that this happens or that happens, we will say to them, can you show me in the Bible? Because where the Bible speaks, we speak. And if the Bible's silent on something, we're silent on it. I don't really know. So that's kind of where we land on that. So that's my feeling about who Mary isn't. Let's look at who Mary is. And we can do that by simply looking back at the context of Luke chapter 1. We see basically that Mary was a simple, ordinary teenage village teenage girl. And we can know three distinct things about her. Those are in your notes. Number one, she was a young girl. She was probably between the age of 12 to 14. Traditionally and culturally, girls became engaged very young or betrothed in that time. Very young, many times at the age of 12. And then in a matter of months or even a couple years, they were married. Many reasons for this, the life expectancy factor. People didn't live very long in those days. They lived to about 40 years old and they passed away. So they started their families much younger than we do today. Infant mortality rates were very high. Not every child lived to be 5 years old. The mortality rate was very young. The importance of a perpetuation of the family name was there. So they wanted their children to have children soon. And the level of maturity was also a reason that they would marry younger. The Bible says to us, if you are young, or if you feel young, don't let anyone look down upon you because you are young. But do this. Set an example for the believers. Do this in speech, in your life, in love, and in faith, and in purity. Set an example for other people. 1 Timothy 4:12. Secondly, what we know about Mary is that she was a humble and faithful young girl. She was humble and faithful. I love the words in Luke 1:38 where she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Do you see that humility in her voice? Do you see that meekness in her character? We could contrast that with that of the priest, Zechariah. You know, he kind of pushed back. "Yeah, I don't really know about that. I'm pretty old, you know, and my wife, you know, she's, I hate to say this, but she's old too. Have you seen her lately? I don't know. I don't really think this is going to happen." So sad sometimes as we get older, and I'm feeling it, we get crankier, don't we? We get less tolerant of the young people and what's going on. And we've seen it all, and we've been there, and we've done that, and for some reason we get this hide upon us and this scale, and we just push back on everything. But I love to see this young girl Mary, and when she's confronted by the angel, and the angel Gabriel says, "You're going to have this baby, and he's the Messiah," and she simply says, "May it be as you said." What amazing faith. What amazing faith she has. That's my prayer for you as well, is to have this kind of faith where God can work and be active in your life too, regardless of your age. And then number three, she was a poor, simple village girl. Some scholars would disagree with this, and they're twisting verses left and right, and they may be right. I'm not going to bet my life upon this, but it appears that when Joseph and Mary went to the temple, they didn't have the funds to offer the normal sacrifice of a lamb and a pigeon, but instead they offered the poor man's sacrifice of two pigeons. Okay, and many commentaries will say this is an indication that they were a poor family. And I believe that. I believe Mary was probably a poor girl. She was young. She was a girl, which in those days were not, you know, was not a positive. She was humble, she was faithful, and she was poor. You wouldn't think that the Almighty God, creator of the universe, would use someone like that. But as we look through Scripture again and again and again, He uses the simple and the meek and the poor and the weak to confront the mighty and the powerful and the rich. He uses people like that. God uses the most improbable people to fulfill His purposes. Let me say that again. It's in your notes. God uses or chooses the most improbable people to fulfill His purpose. I love that. And I love the hope that it gives me and others that God can use us regardless of who we are and what we've been through and where we live. Now come back to the future with me. Let's come back to today, 2015, November, on the cusp of Christmas season and all the excitement that that brings. We see Mary traveling to her cousin Elizabeth to announce her pregnancy, to share the joy. There's a lot of things we announce these days. You know, we announce our wedding engagements. We announce the wedding, of course. We announce retirements. We announce graduations. We announce births. We announce sometimes when we're moving. It's exciting. And the birth of a child is really exciting. I found this clip recently. It was popular on the internet, and I just have to share it with you. It's an announcement from a couple who are going to have a baby, and they want to tell the grandparents about it, but they want to do it in a special way. and they've copied something that Jimmy Fallon does in the Tonight Show. It's called the Whisper Challenge. And what he does is he takes headphones and he puts them over their ears and he blasts loud music into their ears. And then somebody somebody speaks something to them. Usually it's a little phrase and they have to guess what the phrase is. Okay. So this couple set up this environment, put the headphones on their grandparents or their parents and mouthed or told them that they were going to be grandparents. Take a look at this.
Yep.
I'm pregnant.
Hyper.
I'm pregnant.
Hyper.
Yes.
Keep saying it. Keep saying it.
You're going to be grandparent.
Keep saying it.
You're going to be a grandparent.
Short.
You're going to be a grandparent.
Do you want me to what?
You are going to be.
Beach. You are going to beach.
You are going to be.
You are going to beach and.
Be a.
And what?
You are going to be a.
I'm going to behave.
Grandfather.
I'm a father.
Grandfather.
A great father.
Grandfather.
Grandfather.
Yes.
I'm going to be a grandfather.
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to be a grandfather.
I'm going to be a grandfather.
I'm going to be a grandfather.
How exciting it is to hear an announcement, especially of the birth of a grandchild. And that's what we're looking at this month is announcing things. And in the last week or so, I've been a lot of stores, and I get sucked into the Black Friday stuff. I didn't buy anything, but boy, I looked a lot. Thank you. I have a list, however. I'm waiting for Cyber Monday. But what frustrates me, I watch TV, and I walk through the mall, I walk through the stores, and I'm looking, and I'm seeing, you know, all the electronics and the high-definition TVs, and I'm seeing the displays with Santa Claus, and he's coming to be here December whatever, and there's elves, and there's candy, and there's all these decorations, and it's beautiful, and there's music piped in, and it's so much fun, and I watch TV, and I'm like, oh, Santa Claus is coming to town, and Frosty the Snowman, and we're going, oh, we should watch that one, that's a classic. And it struck me, amongst all this advertising and hoopla, where's Jesus? I didn't see Jesus anywhere. And I thought, isn't this originally about Jesus? Isn't this a celebration for his birth? And I was really disappointed and kind of thinking, I can't believe our culture has come to this. And then I stopped myself and I thought, who's living inside of me? Who am I to the world? That Jesus has chosen me. God has chosen me, kind of like he's chosen Mary to bear his son. God has chosen you and me to bear God's image in the form of Jesus Christ, to be his light, to be his salt, to be his hands and his feet in this world. And I thought, I have to be Jesus, because if I'm not Jesus, the world isn't going to see him, even at the stores and on the television specials and whatnot. So what I did is I cut out these little pieces of Mylar film. And if you have a bulletin, you should have gotten one of these. It probably fell on the floor if it's not in the bulletin there. But I want you to take that out right now and look at that. And what I've done here is I've tried to make a miniature mirror for you. Okay. You can look in there and, you're going to see some sort of a figure. You're not going to be clear because you're not perfect yet, okay? But a distorted face there. But I want you to look at that. I want you to see Jesus. That when you look in the mirror, you see Jesus. And what I want you to do is this Christmas season, this coming month, is put that in your wallet or put that in your purse or put that somewhere. next to the credit card would probably be a really good place. Somewhere where you'll see it again and again throughout the month to remind you that you need to be Jesus to the people around you. Now, how do you do that, you might say? And I just have some thoughts. Of course, you can go to Scripture. There's a million verses. But show Jesus to the people around you. How do you do it? Well, some simple things. Pay attention to people. Pay attention to them. If you walk into the mall or a store and just stop and look around, no one is looking at anybody else. They're all consumed with what's on the shelves and the lines and the clerks. Just stop and pause and notice people, and you'll find an opportunity to be Jesus to them. It's amazing. Let them know that they matter. Be kind to people. It probably sounds so simple, you know, yeah, right. Of course, we're always kind. No, you're not always kind. Be kind when you're driving. Be kind in traffic. Be kind when you're in line. Be kind when you're reaching for something on the shelf. Be kind at home. Be kind to your family. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Be patient with people. It's a very difficult time of year. It's a stressful time of year. There's a lot going on, a lot of programs, a lot of events to get to. People are working more than they normally would. People are working a second and third job. They don't normally work that job a lot of times where you go and shop. They're in training still, and they're in there for about a month to earn a little extra money. So be patient with them at the register. Be patient with those in line. Give them a little extra grace. And then finally, I would just say smile. Just smile at people. I've been struck so many times when I look up and somebody is smiling at me. Just out of the blue, a stranger is just smiling. And they're not flirting with me, they're just smiling. And I, you know, you don't always know why. And sometimes I'll be smiling and I catch someone's eye, and maybe I had just talked to my wife and she said something funny and I'm smiling and I catch their eye and they look and it lightens their whole mood, it lightens their face. And I try not to take it back or hide it like, oh, that wasn't for you. I try to just let it go because it really makes someone's day. Look them in the eye and smile. You'll be amazed how shocked they might be. So my message this morning, in summary, is to show people Jesus. Let them see Jesus in you. I will be down here at the cross if you want to talk further. If you want to talk about Mary, you can email Andy or somebody. But if you want to talk about your faith and your salvation, I'll be over here at the cross. Would you stand with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, this is a time of year that I'm apprehensive about. I pray that we can be good stewards of your money, that we can be good stewards of your time, that we wouldn't be just consumers, but we would also be generous at this time of year, balancing what we have, what we don't have, what we want, and what we need. Father, just give us wisdom and moving forward into this year, this coming month, and then this year, and make us the people you want us to be. Help us to show Jesus everywhere we go, Father, in the things that we do, in the things that we say, and may we be His light into our world. In Christ's name, amen.